T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game. Alongside Lorenzo Neal and Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenball. We've got a stacked hour for you coming up now. $1,000 to give away, a conversation with Michael Silver on the latest regarding Raider first-round pick Gary and Conley, and we've got tickets to give away at 8:45, that coming on the heels of a conversation with former Colorado Rocky general manager Dan O'Dowd. Well, we're rocking and rolling today, boys. We're rocking and rolling. And I think we got a little Colin Kaepernick news to get to as well at around 8:15. So without further ado, let's give away some cash. 72881, text the code word cough, as in turn your head and cough, to 72881. Message and data rates apply. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because of all the words in the English language, we went with cough. What's tomorrow going to be? Sneeze? Or virus? Just a curious
text
choice.
Code word puke. Seriously? To 72881.
Didn't see that one coming. Bile. No, it's cough, people. Cough.
C-O-U-G-H. Cough. Conversation with Michael Silver in a minute. But right now, here's Dibs with your update.
Top story, Eduardo Nunez traded to Boston as the Red Sox look to pick up some infield depth. The Giants get minor league pitchers Sean Anderson and Gregory Santos. On the field, the Giants beat the Pirates 11-3. Madison Bumgarner, his first win of the year. The rubber game in the series is today out at AT&T. Story number two, the trade deadline is coming up July 31st. Sonny Gray was on display yesterday in Toronto. The A's lose to the Blue Jays 4-1. They only got 6 hits on offense. Sonny Gray didn't give up an earned run in front of a dozen or so scouts. Joe Stiglich on the Afternoon Delight yesterday said the A's don't necessarily have to deal Sonny.
We're 6 days away from the trade deadline. You know, I kind of wrote in that story this morning, the A's are kind of in a position of strength here, because if they get absolutely knocked over by a great offer, they can pull the trigger, but they don't have to, because, you know, I think in the offseason, Sonny Gray is still going to have a lot of value having 2 years of team control left on his contract.
Paul Blackburn goes today against Marco Estrada, 3:15 dugout show here on 95.7 The Game. Story number three, NFL training camps are opening. Bills, Falcons, Packers, Rams, and Redskins all open their camps today. The Raiders will get their veterans in tomorrow. Meanwhile, Ben Heaney and Cooper Helfett placed on the non-football injury list for the Raiders. Niners open camp with rookies and vets coming in tomorrow. The update brought to you by Fremont Chrysler Jeep Dodge. You see it everywhere. The DGDG.com yellow license plate. So where will you see it next? Check us out at DGDG.com. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. It's 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Dibs. He's an NFL analyst for the NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Silver. Michael Silver with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Michael, good morning. We hope you've had a great summer and you're ready to dive into it. Word on the street is that you're at Denver Broncos camp today. Am I correct?
That's right. The season begins today. I am about to pull into Broncos headquarters with my esteemed colleague and chauffeur, James Palmer, and we're going to get after it. And this is a good place to start, given that they won a Super Bowl very recently, but obviously have been dethroned in the AFC West, which is probably on paper the best division in football.
All right, let's start right there then with the Denver Broncos. Now, obviously, you're just arriving into camp, but when all's said and done, who do you think is inevitably, or I should say eventually, going to win the starting quarterback job? Trevor Siemian or former first-round pick Paxton Lynch?
Well, it's a great question, because you would think, all things being equal, you would go with Paxton Lynch, drafted in the first round. Now in year two, we live in an NFL world where, you know, guys don't wait as long typically anymore. And, you know, Trevor Siemian's a guy who had much less of a pedigree. But last year I rolled in here early in camp believing that Mark Sanchez would win that job. Siemian ended up winning it and played really well when he was healthier late in the year and kind of played through a lot more pain than some people realize. So it's one of those things I kind of want to dig into. Mike McCoy, the former Chargers coach, is back here as the offensive coordinator, and Bill Musgrave, who Raider fans know well, is the quarterback's coach. So those are two very smart guys who know a lot about quarterbacking, and I think I'll know a little bit more after I break it down with them.
Michael, everyone talks about their quarterback position, but to me, I see other glooming concerns for this Denver Bronco team, particularly up front. Offense not necessarily running the ball as dominant as they like last year. Also, defensively up front, have they solved those problems, and what do you think, how they're going to fare in those particular positions?
Well, Lo, great questions. They need a Lo Neal clearing the way for
Anderson, get it.
Or Jamal Charles, you know, interestingly, is here. So, I mean, listen, if he looks like Jamal Charles in his prime and is healthy, that could be pretty enticing. But, I'm glad you brought up the run defense and the problems up front last year, because that kind of went under the radar. They really, really slipped in that area. And, you know, they lost a couple of key guys, Malik Jackson, who got the huge deal in Jacksonville, and then on the next level, Danny Trevathan, also departing. So you lose speed at linebacker, you lose disruption in the middle of the defensive line, but still, they should have been a little bit better than that. And so Wade Phillips, who had so much success there, now gone to the Rams, and you have a defensive-minded coach in Vance Joseph, who, you know, a head coach who has a lot of potential, and a lot of teams have kind of seen that star quality. So kudos to the Broncos for taking that swing and hiring a guy who really could be a star. So I'm cautiously optimistic about the defense. Anytime you have Von Miller and their secondary, you can do a lot of things. To me, though, there was kind of an offense-defense divide late in the season last year, and there was no Peyton Manning to stem that. So the offense has to do its part.
Staying in the division and moving to Kansas City with the Tamba Hali Twitter and Facebook mini rants and Andy Reid's response, are these sort of distractions the type that can carry over into the regular season, or will this be put to bed before camp ends?
I'm sorry, was that the quarterback thing you were asking about?
I was asking about Tamba Hali going to social media.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
It's all good, Mike. It's early. It's July.
I don't know if it's going to be put to bed. I mean, Tamba Hali's explanation for blurting things out on Twitter that upset Andy Reid was that he's just a competitor and wants to win. Listen, he doesn't have to explain anything to me. I'm okay with football players blurting things out on Twitter. It's when people who have more important jobs that, you know, affect the lives of many do that, I get a little more upset. But, listen, the Chiefs are a really, really good team. They got a lot of talent. They got a lot of talent at that position. So, I don't mind if a guy who is accomplished at hunting quarterbacks and disrupting offenses is a little surly going into the season. I think if I'm Andy Reid, I kind of secretly like that. And, you know, to me, the issue with the Chiefs is, you know, Alex Smith, he's their guy, and they all like him as their leader, but they obviously invested a lot in Patrick Mahomes, who has a lot of upside. So is there a scenario where they would just make that switch?
Michael Silver with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. We bring it back to the Bay and the Oakland Raiders, where the number one story is the lack of first and second round picks under contract as camp is underway. Obi Melifonwu, the second round pick, safety out of UConn, and Gary and Conley, the corner out of Ohio State, both remain unsigned. What's the latest on both? And as it pertains to Conley, how concerned is the organization regarding his legal status?
Well, you know, obviously there are two different situations. The Conley situation is complicated by the legal thing. And listen, nobody made the Raiders draft him. They knew the backdrop kind of going in. So I would imagine this is a contingency they have contemplated and that, you know, they're trying to work through. I mean, honestly, in today's NFL, I'm not that worried that draft picks aren't going to get signed. Now, you know, the caveat would be the Chargers dug in last year and died on a strange hill with Joey Bosa, worrying about offsets and deferred money. And, they made a stand, and he came in late, got hurt. they missed him those first few games, which were pivotal, and then he turned out to be an absolute impact player, and they really, really could have used him from the jump. So, you know, I don't know that the Raiders would, you know, go to that level, but in my opinion, it's pretty easy to do these rookie deals. This is, you know, Conley's obviously a different situation because of the legal thing, but in general, it's easy to do these rookie deals. They're basically slotted, and I would imagine that we shouldn't get too worked up about it. And luckily, the Raiders are so good that, you know, they're going to hit the ground running anyway and not be overly stressed.
One player that fans hope will hit the ground running is Marshawn Lynch, with the veterans coming in tomorrow to camp. What is a reasonable expectation for Marshawn Lynch this season from a quantitative standpoint?
Super Bowl MVP.
Nice.
I'm not saying I definitely think Marshawn Lynch is going to be Super Bowl MVP, but that is a, you know, that's the dream, right? I mean, it doesn't seem far-fetched to me either. We have a team that is really, really good with an ascending quarterback who may, in fact, be already great. We have a great offensive line that mauls people and a fresh running back who not only is very, very productive, but runs with a fury and an attitude that is infectious, and a fan base that is very connected to that guy. And, you know, my head is spinning with the possibilities. Now, running backs get old and things change. So we have to see what happens. But on a positive note, he's super fresh. And if we see any semblance of, you know, the guy we've seen out there during his career with that offensive line and that quarterback and those receivers, I think they're going to just roll people offensively, and it's going to be awesome.
Michael, what do you make of the situation in Dallas where Jerry Jones and company had no problems cutting a player like Lucky Whitehead, despite the fact that he was guilty of nothing? Someone had used his identity. He wasn't even in the state. Yet, when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott, Jerry Jones will go right to the media and tell him he doesn't see any evidence or any reason to have any concern over Zeke whatsoever.
Well, I guess he's unlucky Whitehead at this point. But, you know, listen, guys with more talent and more production are always going to get more consideration. And it seems to me that obviously nobody should be terminated because of a completely false charge against them. That's ridiculous. But it seems to me that, you know, they have a situation with him where the fact that they got, in their minds, pushed to the brink and felt it was the last straw, caused them to reflect and say, he's not that important. He's been a pain in the butt. So I don't like that. I think the union has cause to explore whether that's okay. But, you know, I'm not going to also get moralistic about it. They know the guy more than I do. They're trying to win games. And, you know, Jerry gets a lot of crap because he is out there and puts himself out there and talks, whereas, you know, Bill Belichick does these things without saying a word and somehow gets, you know, lionized as this, you know, stealth assassin. All these teams are trying to win games. They know their personnel, and they make these decisions. But yeah, it does suck if anyone loses their job because of a completely false charge.
At any point during this season, will Colin Kaepernick be under contract with an NFL team?
I hope so. Listen, I think if you're Colin Kaepernick, and I don't know that this is what he's doing, and it is ridiculous that he's not getting more interest, but I think if you're him, the play right now is just chill and, you know, unfortunately see if there's a Teddy Bridgewater situation or something, because guys get hurt. And when you're looking at a significant injury and really need a quarterback, then I don't think you're in, if you're a, you know, a typical team, I don't think you're in Dan Orlovsky mode or even RG3 mode. I think you're like, we need to get a guy who can do this at a high level and bring him in and save our season. And there's only one guy like that out there, and that's Kaepernick. So in my opinion, the best play is just wait, see who gets injured, and see if there's a real need. Because I don't know that it behooves him to go try to hook on as a second or third quarterback for a team that clearly didn't want him that much.
Michael Silver, NFL analyst for the NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Silver. He's in Denver covering the Broncos today as he embarks upon training camp 2017 with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Michael, thank you for your time. Travel safe, and we look forward to doing it again soon.
All right, awesome. Good talking to you guys.
So, as long as you can help a team win, you've got a place. But it can't be political if you've got issues off to the side. Zeke Elliott, you can get in trouble, but you've got to be able to help the team win. Because remember, if you're Lucky Whitehead and you didn't do anything wrong, but someone said they were Lucky Whitehead and got arrested, you're going to lose your job. Clearly not someone who can help Dallas win to Jerry Jones' expectations. So he's gone. Ezekiel Elliott, however, can help them win. Greg Hardy could help them win. So these are individuals that will continue to have work. Understood. Field Yates from ESPN released an article recently ranking the 32 NFL teams based on their backup quarterback situation. Let's start at the bottom and work our way up. Low, Indianapolis is ranked 32nd. Their backup quarterback is Scott Tolzien.
Who?
Scott Tolzien.
Exactly.
From Wisconsin, if memory serves me correctly.
Yep.
Better than Colin Kaepernick?
No. And you look at Andrew Luck, hurt right now, so probably won't play in preseason because of shoulder. And you have to worry and question, is he going to be okay? Any hit on that shoulder, it's a thorn. That is a problem. Huge red flag. And you want to go with Scott Tolzien? Child, please.
So if you're trying to win games in Indianapolis and Andrew Luck goes down, would you rather have Scott Tolzien or Colin Kaepernick?
Colin Kaepernick's not even close.
Dibs, team number 31, the Los Angeles Rams. After Jared Goff, it's Sean Mannion from Oregon State. I remember covering him at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama years ago. It was a year with quarterbacks that excited nobody. There wasn't a single scout that liked any of the quarterbacks that year. Is he a better option to win football games than Colin Kaepernick?
Yes, without a doubt. And I should probably qualify this by saying I grew up with Sean's uncle and Sean's father. I've known the family for probably 40 years, so maybe I could take a different team. Honestly, if I didn't have ties to the Mannion family, yes, Colin Kaepernick's a better quarterback than Sean Mannion. I saw Sean play at Foothill High, Oregon State. I think it's great that he's made it in the pros. But honestly, if you look at the bodies of work, Colin Kaepernick's going to be better than probably 29 of these 32, without a doubt. But I do want to get a shout-out for the Mannion family.
That's good.
Hard by San Rafael.
Understood.
Via Pleasanton, etc. But you're right, Joe. It is Kaepernick. But nope. I got love for the Mannions.
The Buccaneers at number 30. The backup is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ooh.
Quite the journeyman.
Right.
Dibs, are you familiar with the Fitzpatrick family in any way, shape, or form that would allow you to weigh in on this one?
No, I do hope to send my son to an Ivy League school, though, so I'm
smart
a little bit
kid.
Biased toward the Ivy League. Ryan Fitzpatrick's an interesting one because, you know, he's gotten, I won't say it's a bad rap, he's had multiple chances to go out there and do what he can do, and he's shown at times to be a good quarterback. So he might be one of the few ones where you could turn it over to him and say, at least he has experience, right? I mean, Sean Mannion's got no experience. Tolzien hasn't done anything in the league. At least Fitzpatrick has done some things.
Yeah, he's an average one, and here's the thing about him. How many opportunities has he had to start compared to Colin? Thank you. Here's a guy that goes different places and still gets opportunities
Thank
to
you.
Start. So, no.
Look at how bad some of these backup quarterback situations are. First of all, that one should be ranked a lot higher.
Oh,
as bad as Fitzpatrick
he
is,
be
he's
way
better
higher.
Than a lot of these. 29, Baltimore, Ryan Mallett. 28, Seattle, Trayvon Boykin, who's been arrested more than he's thrown passes in the NFL. 27, the Jets. Josh McCown's the starter. Christian Hackenberg,
wow.
Who, according to reporters who covered Jets OTAs, on not one but two occasions, he overthrew receivers so badly he drilled reporters who were way off to the side. That's how bad, with no pads on, he's overthrowing wide receivers.
He's on two.
Number 26, the Tennessee Titans. It's Matt Cassel behind Marcus Mariota. Number 25, the Dallas Cowboys. It's Kellen Moore behind Dak Prescott. I loved Kellen Moore at Boise State. Won me a ton of money for a few years. He ain't getting it done in the National Football League. 24, the Detroit Lions. Jake Rudock and Brad Kaya.
Rudock.
Kaya, the rookie out of Miami. And Rudock, where is he? Was he from Michigan? Did he play with Harbaugh under Michigan?
North Pole Rudolph.
All right, so you've got that situation in Detroit. In Jacksonville, it's Chad Henne. You can't kill that guy. Chad Henne behind Blake Bortles. In Buffalo, it's Cardale Jones and Nathan Peterman behind Tyrod Taylor. In Los Angeles for the Chargers, it's Kellen Clemens behind Phillip Rivers, although they did work out RG3 yesterday. Number 20, the New York Giants. Geno Smith, Josh Johnson, and Davis Webb. Webb, interesting, because he played here at Cal. Geno Smith and Josh Johnson behind Eli Manning. Although the Giants made it clear they couldn't bring in a guy like Colin Kaepernick. They would lose too much money. The Minnesota Vikings, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford, Case Keenum, Taylor Heineke. I can't even pronounce the guy's last name. The Niners with Hoyer and Barkley. The Falcons with Matt Schaub.
Whoa.
The Falcons would rather have Matt Schaub as their backup than Colin Kaepernick.
Same Matt Schaub pick that was six, with the Raiders?
You want an interception? You want to win? Oh,
here it
put
is.
Put Schaub in. Exactly.
A lot of back foot throws from Schaub in his time here.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's got Josh Dobbs, the rookie out of Tennessee, and Landry Jones behind Roethlisberger. I get the Josh Dobbs situation. He's a rookie. You want to see what you have.
Me too.
I'm
with those young guys.
15's the Oakland Raiders. They brought in E.J. Manuel.
E.J.
Connor Cook's still here as well. With Houston, it's Watson, Brandon Whedon, and Tom Savage battling it out. In Washington, it's Cousins backed up by Colt McCoy and Nate Sudfeld. This goes on and on. I mean, is there any reason to believe at any turn that this guy isn't being blackballed? That's 100% what this is.
Not only is being blackballed, Joe, and I disagree with the guy we just had on, a good friend of
Mike Silver.
Mike Silver. Disagree with him. He's not going to get picked up this year. After Luck goes down, now it's on PUP, and I understand that, and here's a coach that's, his job's on the line. You know, you look at Pagano, his job is on the line, and you're going to go in there with a quarterback that's a hung tooth, that's number 32, the worst backup quarterback in the league, and you'd rather stay with him than in Colin Kaepernick? He's not getting the job this year. I don't care if every quarterback on, a team will trade within the NFL to get to keep him out.
Is it fair to say that the NFL, in general, would rather have a rapist who could help you win than an advocate who could help you win, an activist that could help you win? Is that fair to say at this point, Debs?
I think you'd rather have the activist, in my opinion, but the way the league is reacting to all these players who've had domestic violence situations, almost everyone to a man has gotten work, with the exception of Ray Rice, whose career might have been over anyway. Colin Kaepernick simply stood up for what he believes in, or kneeled down for what he believes in, and his activism is a lot scarier to teams and I think their fan bases. And I think a lot of this comes back on the fan bases themselves because of a large portion of them being tolerant of domestic violence abusers who can come out and make plays for you, whereas this is somehow an affront on your liberty and an affront on America, and yet this guy you wouldn't support? It's just a total hypocrisy to me.
What's worse than Colin Kaepernick? What would the NFL deem worse than Colin Kaepernick? You could rape someone, but if you can help them win, you'll have a job before Colin Kaepernick. You can beat up a woman, but if you can help a team win, you'll have a job before Colin Kaepernick. This isn't an opinion I'm giving you. This is facts. These are facts. The NFL's already shown us that. So what would be worse than Colin Kaepernick? Like, what would be something where a team would choose Cap over someone with the exact same resume, exact same skill set, but they did something that was perceived to be so bad, you would rather have Colin Kaepernick than that individual?
Yeah. You know, you can't play murder because he's going to be in prison, Kruth. So if you could get, I don't know, Joe.
Scary is that to you? How scary is it to think how far someone would need to go where Colin would be the choice over that individual? That's where we're at right now. What would someone have to do with the exact same skill set? If you clone Colin Kaepernick and then put them next to each other, but the one was the activist that we see now, the other one, what would that person need to do to be deemed more toxic in the eyes of the National Football League?
He's right. It's murder. If you killed somebody, that would be the only thing, because we've seen...
You killed dogs. We saw what
happened.
And he
came back in the league.
Back.
Yeah,
he got over $100 million.
I was thinking that same thing, dogs. You can rape. You can beat up women. You can abuse children. What else can you do?
Wow, it's just sad. It really is. And the sad thing about this, and you people are looking at Colin Kaepernick, and I understand people's position, but I think the people just they're doing that because they look in the mirror and they know they have guilt. because there's a lot of people that walk into the stadiums, and now you see it, and I told you guys this a long time ago, and we all know it, that now they're stopping. When they used to just walk, disregard, at least he was doing something. There's people in the flags when it's going on, when they're singing the Star-Spangled, people are still walking, they're eating, they're on their cell phone. They had disregarded all together. And now a guy, at least he did show respect of kneeling, but yet and still people say, God, he's out of control, he's not American. How American is it when you're frigging walking, eating, on your phone, and doing whatever, disregarding it anyway?
He's the former general manager of the Colorado Rockies, and he's going to tell us what's next for Johnny Cueto and Jeff Samardzija. Dan O'Dowd is coming up. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Tickets to give away at 8:45, and we're going to revisit this question because it struck a nerve on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, so we're going to give you the chance to weigh in. In the eyes of the NFL, what would be considered worse than Colin Kaepernick's activism? What would you need to do as a player of a similar skill set in order for a team to say, you know what, I'd rather have Cap than that guy? Here's one that's, at first I was going to laugh at it, but it's true. Support ISIS. If a player supported ISIS, right? So say you clone Kaepernick, and that guy's supporting ISIS on one side, and then the other side it's Kaepernick, you probably sign Kaepernick before the ISIS supporter, or do you not, Dibs?
I don't think you sign either one, but if you had to choose between the two, gun to your head kind of scenario, you would sign Colin Kaepernick before an ISIS supporter. Yeah, I would hope so. But
nice to see we have a baseline there. ISIS is the baseline.
It's so sad that what Colin has done is that far down the distasteometer, for lack of a better way to describe it.
No, I hear you, Sam.
You know, you can do almost anything. You can commit domestic violence, heinous acts, and still come back. But if you kneel for the anthem, you're out? Makes no sense.
Hit us up at 845-888-957-9570. The MLB Network is featuring trade deadline coverage all week long. And Dan O'Dowd will be a part of MLB Network's studio shows Monday beginning 7 a.m. Lucky for us, former GM of the Colorado Rockies, now analyst for MLB Network, Dan O'Dowd, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Hey, guys. Hey, it is morning out where you guys are, so thanks for having me on so bright and early.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it, especially considering it's one of the biggest weeks of the year in Major League Baseball. We'll begin with the San Francisco Giants. Eduardo Nunez traded to Boston for a couple prospects last night. What else do you think is on San Francisco's docket between now and the close of business at the trade deadline?
Well, I hope they're aggressive. I think they have an opportunity to be. They've got some starting pitching available or potentially available within a market that has greater demand than supply. And I believe the Giants will be looking for every opportunity to put their club back in a position where they can contend again in 2018.
Larry Bear has said that they want to contend next year in 2018, but what do you do from a pitching staff standpoint? You got Samardzija on the hook for 18, Cueto with a player option at $22 million, one more year of Matt Cain. Is there any moves they can make with those pitchers? Obviously not Cain, but who can be moved to make it so they can compete next year?
Well, again, in this industry, I think any player can be moved depending upon what you want to get back. If the Giants are trying to get back to some payroll flexibility next year, they're going to have to compromise probably on some of the talent. They ask back, I'm not sure that they'll move both starting pitchers, but if the opportunity is there to move both, I'm sure they're going to be in a listening mode because they're going to need to try to get a little younger, a little bit more athletic, and two greatest currencies in our game are younger, affordable, impactful players and payroll flexibility. They're going to try to put themselves in a position where they have a little bit of both.
A guy they call the Iron Man, Hunter Pence, you know what this guy meant to this organization. See now, been injured, and also Span. Do they have any trade value, and who would be a suitor for those type of guys?
I think Hunter Pence helps any organization that's trying to win. Guys, there's not a ton of clubs looking for corner outfielders right now, and there's a lot of them available. So I believe he ends up staying in San Francisco and finishing out the season. And then them kind of readdressing, moving forward, what they do with him as they move forward at his age and his injury history the last couple of years. But there's no doubt, there's no denying that they would have not won the way they would have won without Hunter Pence's contributions on and off the field. He's a special guy.
Former general manager of the Colorado Rockies, now an analyst for the MLB Network, Dan O'Dowd with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. With several big-name teams in contention this year looking for starting pitching, Sonny Gray has become the object of affection for many. What can the A's expect as a haul in return? Because recently Billy Beane made it clear the team is going to rebuild. They want to be ready to contend with the new stadium. So what kind of haul is going to come back for Sonny?
I think a pretty good one. You know, at the trade deadline, guys, you don't see a ton of impactful players coming back. If you look at what the Tigers got back a few years ago for Cespedes and Michael Fulmer, I'm sure that Billy's trying to find an impact player and then a few really good contributors coming back and maybe a deeper projection within the process. But I do believe I had a chance to see Sonny Gray live and against the White Sox this year. I thought he was outstanding. I think he's definitely a guy that can help a contending club take it to the next level. There's some cost certainty involved with that going beyond this year. He's one of the more attractive pieces available on the market because of the control moving forward, and I believe Billy will do well. And the good, you know, great thing about dealing with Billy over the years, and Billy and I made a ton of deals together, is that, you know, he cuts right to it. He knows what he wants done. He's very open-minded. He doesn't try to create anything but a win-win situation in the process. And when you get close or to the area he wants to get a deal done, he will react quickly and you will get a deal done.
Do you think there'll be more pressure at the deadline itself in 5 days because more teams are seemingly in it, especially in the American League wild card race this year?
I do. Yeah, and I do think there's some pressure there, too. I think the best time to move Sonny Gray is at this trading deadline as it relates to, you know, really not knowing what Texas is going to do with Darvish and everybody else really on an expiring contract except for some margin. I think Gray is a whole step above him as far as capabilities within a rotation. There's a great opportunity for the A's to take advantage of that right now, and I'm sure Billy and David are focused on that day in and day out. The second wild card, guys, has changed things dramatically within our game. That's the most difficult place to be in right now. It's real easy to know, hey, we're rebuilding or we're good enough to win a championship. It's that second category, yeah, where we think we're good enough to win, but we're not sure. That's the worst position to be in because you can make a lot of short-term decisions that have dramatically negative effects long-term.
Dan O'Dowd with Joe, Low, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. The Dodgers losing Clayton Kershaw with a herniated disc for an extended period here. There's got to be a little bit of concern considering how well they've been playing this season. What do you see them doing at the deadline? Are they going to get splashy?
Well, they haven't the last couple of years. I mean, they're really good guys. I mean, they're a dominant team, and that's what the Giants realistically have to look at competing against over the next few years and how they can put themselves in the position to bridge that gap, because the gap's pretty significant between them and every other team in the National League West. So, no, I think the Dodgers, notwithstanding Clayton's injury, are really in a tremendous position. They have a deep, talented position player club. They will get Adrian Gonzalez back. And see if there's a place for him to play with the way the kid Bellinger has played. If they can add another impact starting pitcher, they will. If they can add another impact bullpen guy, they will. I'm not sure they really need to add a lot of complementary pieces right now to the mix they already have.
Former Rockies general manager, now a terrific analyst for the MLB Network. Catch him for all their trade deadline coverage. Dan O'Dowd with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Dan, thank you for your time this morning. We appreciate the insights.
Hey,
hopefully
thanks
we can do
so
it again
much
soon.
For having me. Yep, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
again.
Dan.
All right. So we've got tickets to give away. We've got conversations coming up with Matt Miller at 9:05 on the Raider Rookies and the Niner Rookies. We got Alex Pavlovich on the latest with the Giants at 9:30. So we're going to turn it over to you next and revisit a conversation from a little while ago because you absolutely lit up the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. So 888-957-9570. If you have Colin Kaepernick on one side and you have a player with exactly the same resume, credentials, capabilities on the other, what would that player need to do in order for the NFL to pick Kaepernick over him? Because if you go through the list of things that lead to second chances in the National Football League, it's extensive. Dante Stallworth killed a guy with his car. He had a job when he came out. So what would be worse? What would be worse in the eyes of the NFL than what Kaepernick's done, which is legal? 888-957-9570, Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lo, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Your phone calls on Cap 888-957-9570 in just a moment. Matt Miller to talk Raider rookies and Niner rookies at the top of the hour. Alex Pavlovich on the trade deadline at 9:30. But we've got some tickets to give away right now. It'll be done on the text line today. Text line 95795. The PenskeAutosales.com text line for your guesses, 95795. The Giants scored 11 runs in Tuesday night's 11-3 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates. In 102 games this season, how many times has San Francisco scored 10 or more runs in a game? Text line 95795. How many times have the Giants scored 10 or more runs in a game this season? This is your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the Ellie Mae Classic at TPC Stonebray, Monday, July 31st through Sunday, August 6th. All winners qualify for a grand prize VIP experience, which includes four VIP passes, fully catered hospitality, and round-trip limo service to the event. Tickets and info available at elliemayclassic.com. Steph Curry will be in the house playing in this event. July 13th, 2005, 2 weeks before training camp is scheduled to open, Player X is arrested by police at team headquarters. He is charged with assault and felony vandalism stemming from a nightclub altercation. October 25th, 2005, 5 days before the eighth game of the season, it is alleged by the state of West Virginia that Player X has violated the terms of his probation, going back to a suspended sentence after a barroom brawl during his freshman year of college. A judge extends that probation 90 days. February 6, 2006, Player X is arrested in Fayetteville, Georgia, and charged with possession of marijuana. He's handcuffed after throwing a punch at an officer, according to police, and charged with a felony count of obstruction and two misdemeanors of obstructing police. The drug charge, is dismissed in January of 07, although his mother and a friend are convicted of possession of marijuana. Player X appears in court later that month to face obstruction charges. May 23, 2006, a Fayette County Drug Task Force SWAT team serves a search warrant at the Georgia home of Player X, which he bought for his mother. When Player X steps out of his Corvette, a drug investigator notices that the car reeks of marijuana. Player X admits to police that he has been smoking and that it will be several weeks before he is able to pass a drug test. April 18, 2006, according to Nashville police, who cite surveillance camera footage, Player X is one of 12 people gathered at a gas station when a fight breaks out and gunshots are fired. This goes on and on.
Player X is a busy guy.
Player X is Pac-Man Jones, and this is all early in his career. This is early. This is before the strip club incident in Las Vegas. This is Pac-Man Jones, who is still in the National Football League, who just got in trouble this past offseason again. He continues to have a job. He has been in the league for over 10 years. And yet we sit here and talk about a guy who protested something he felt was important, some injustice that he felt needed more attention. That individual can't get a job in the NFL. So what we posed about 20 minutes ago, which caught fire, so we're putting it out to you, what would a similar player to Kaepernick need to do that would be so bad the NFL would choose Kaepernick over that player? Someone suggested support ISIS on the text line. I laughed at first, and then I realized, sadly, that might be enough. That might be something where an NFL owner would say, you know what, given all things, Kaepernick versus a guy who supports ISIS, I'm going to take Kaepernick. I think that would probably be better for us.
Amazing.
The fact that that would even be a decision, that you actually have to think about that, Dibs.
It's sad. And the one name that just popped up as I was starting to research, and there's a long line of list of professional athletes who have been convicted of crimes. Michael Floyd, he gets popped for extreme DUI, 0.217, almost three times the legal limit, asleep in his vehicle. Yeah, he gets a slap on the wrist and a little suspension, but he's rewarded with being on the Super Bowl championship team, and now he gets a free agent deal. Meanwhile, Colin Kaepernick, a guy who just took a knee, is unable to get work anywhere.
It's crazy. I mean, when you read that list, Adam Jones, I thought it was a couple players. I mean, that was you talked about over, I think that was over 10 events. That was crazy.
Multiple instances over the course of less than 1 year, and that's not even a third. I could have gone on for two segments. It just keeps going with him. And yet he's got a job every year. And no one even bats an eye at it anymore. No one even's like, man, Pac-Man Jones is a bad dude.
And if you've seen Colin cost you games, here's a guy that goes and punches a guy. Remember against Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that they had, could have beat?
Playoff game. That would have been Marvin Lewis's first playoff win, but he lost his damn mind out there.
Absolutely. So,
and then blame Joey Porter.
Yeah.
Joey Porter knew what he was doing. He was getting in your head. He knows you're a loose cannon, son. That's why he came at you.
It's crazy when you look at what's going on with Colin Kaepernick. People can say what they want to say and do what they want, and I get it. But people are going to stand for certain things and say, oh, it's intolerant. But yet and still, you've got guys like Pac-Man Jones, all the different things they do, assaulting women and all the different other antics that's going on. And you want to discount this guy for kneeling and bringing something that he believes need to be brought to the forefront. And you might not have to like him, but you got to respect him because it took courage. And now you see the outlash of what he's really going through. What it's done.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about that. I just want to know what would be considered worse in the eyes of the NFL. Like, I get it. You don't want him. I get it that you disagree with him. I get it that you think he's a problem. Fine. What would be considered worse for the individuals who don't want Colin Kaepernick? What would be worse than what it is that he's doing? What would be worse? Michael Vick, federal prison, torturing, murdering dogs. That wasn't bad enough. Ray Lewis was on trial for murder. Adrian Peterson on trial for abusing his son. Greg Hardy, we all know that story. Alden Smith arrested, what, 7 times, including bomb threats at the airport. Dante Stallworth killed a guy. He served about a month for that. Pac-Man Jones, we already read. Leonard Little. What's it going to take? Like, what would be considered worse? We're not talking about a guy who was arrested, and we're talking about giving him a second chance. We're talking about an activist. That's it. In this day and age, everyone's an activist. In some way, shape, or form, everyone's got an opinion on everything. Go to Twitter today. There's a new outrage over the White House and what's going on with the military. Tomorrow, there will be another outrage. The day after that, there will be a third outrage. Everybody's an activist in this day and age. Everybody takes to social media with their problems, do they not?
They do. And that's the beauty also in the curse of social media is that everyone has a chance to get their opinions out. And all Colin Kaepernick did was to protest something and bring attention to a cause that he thought needed attention brought to it. Whether or not you agree with how he did it, that's a separate issue. If you just look at the NFL and some of the individuals that they continue to employ compared to Colin Kaepernick, a guy who hasn't had legal troubles, the only thing that you don't like about Colin Kaepernick is maybe he scares you because you don't know what he's going to do or say when it relates to this cause, and you're afraid that it may turn off some of your fan base. But meanwhile, you've got domestic violence offenders, multiple DUI guys, like you say, guys accused of murder, who were not only ushered back, but now he's one of the centerpieces, he's one of the spokespeople for the entire league.
888-957-9570. We begin with Rob in Walnut Creek. Rob in Walnut Creek, thanks for calling the show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I hope you're doing well today.
Doing all right. What do you got?
Well, man, look, first off, I want to thank you guys for the opportunity to talk about important topics like this, like on a broader scale. I don't really call in often, but when I do, it's something I'm really passionate about. So if I just ramble, cut me off, trust me, no hard feelings. In my opinion, look, I don't know why Colin isn't playing in the NFL. However, I do believe it kind of reflects a broader issue we have in our society that even though we're super open and together on items like homosexuality or interracial marriage, and we've come so far, on certain things, we keep on regressing. And the ironic thing is in this, like, this age of Facebook and Instagram where everything is shared and we're more scared than ever to express our opinions in public. So the term of the hour is political correctness, but we've gone so far to the extreme that if someone voices their opinion in public, it's like social ostracism. So I think Colin, in my opinion, felt that our country is, if not institutionally racist, is at least institutionally prejudiced. And the real issue here is that isn't that he's complaining against, isn't that officers are killing black kids, moms, or dads, but they're not being punished for it. And we have 100% acquittal rate on an institution of the government that's meant to represent us that is getting acquitted when there's tons of evidence that they shouldn't be. So, you know, he protested, and in our current atmosphere of political correctness, he's being punished for it, for being against America on a public stage. But I wonder if he had just tweeted something, if this would even be an issue, because we're okay with tweets, but we're not okay with someone taking a stand. So You know, I laugh because 300 years ago, people used to protest against the government because of taxation. And 170 years ago, we used to protest against slavery. And, you know, I think history is going to judge Colin, but it'd be great if at this point we could at least understand him and let him have his say. That's all I got.
Thanks, Rob. Well said. Appreciate the phone call. The text line had an instance, too. Remember Riley Cooper at that concert in Philadelphia screaming and yelling the N-word?
Yeah.
No one got rid of him. I mean, he came back to Philadelphia. That was Chip Kelly's first year on the job. That was like right after camp opened, Chip Kelly's first season in the NFL. And they looked at that video, which was appalling, and said, maybe apologize to your teammates, but it's all good. You're still going to have a job here. Like, that was okay.
Yeah. What stood out about that last caller, Rob, I thought he did a great job. Just like when we talked about the 64, 68 Olympics, when guy from related to me, you know, we brought him on the show, Tommy Smith, you know his name. You probably couldn't name a bunch of other athletes because of an incident, you know? So he's right. In 100 years from now, Colin won't be around. But this moment that NFL don't understand and what people don't understand, this moment in this deck, what we're living in, this era, Colin Kaepernick, 50 years, 75 years from now, will still be a huge story, will be talking about how here's a time where everyone was getting along, homosexuality was at, you know, interracial relationships, all the different things that were, this country was being acceptance and tolerance of. Here's a guy that stood up for what he believed and what the facts show that people have been killing officers, have been killing, unarmed people, some, not all, but some. He will be mortified. He will later on, unfortunately, people realize what he stands for.
I don't think it will. I don't think it will. I think 20, 30 years from now, I think this is forgotten. I think it's a footnote in the NFL at best.
I think it's
not
history.
Because of what he's doing, and not because I disagree with what you're saying. There is too much going on. There is just too much happening at every turn. Every single day you wake up, there is something new with our government. There is something new every single day. Whether it's healthcare, whether it's the military, whether it's Russia, every day there is something new that we're outraged about. There's something new that we're debating. There's something new that's on TV, and it's everywhere, and it's every day. Back then, that was a big, singular moment. That was something that grabbed people's attention at the moment and then extended for a while. This type of thing, we talk about it because he has a connection in the Bay Area, but it doesn't get talked about as much elsewhere. And this is just one of several things, dozens of things that's taking place around the country right now that a significant portion of the population has a problem with. A significant portion. It's not the type of thing that'll be remembered because how much can we possibly remember? Right now, what is going to be remembered outside of this current realm than Trump? 60 to 100 years from now, when you look back at 2017, you think anyone's talking about Kaepernick? No. When you look back at America at that time, you're going to look back at the Trump administration and what's taking place around the world. And there might be a few other elements, such as, say, global warming, because in 100 years, we're probably going to be in some dire straits. So we might look back to these moments and how they set us on a negative course. But no one's going to look back at Kaepernick. 70 years from now, no one's going to remember this. I don't see it landing in history because there's too much it's competing with.
I think that in the scope and under the umbrella of Black Lives Matter, as that movement continues to take hold and have permanence, I think he'll be associated with that. And I think and I hope that will be a part of our history as we look back on this as hopefully a turning point in race relations in this country for the better.
Yeah, you remember this one? 408, PenskeAutoSales.com text line. Josh Brent killed his teammate in a DUI accident and was welcomed back to the Cowboys. That's not a Pro Bowler. Last I checked.
All right,
look, the phone lines are juiced. We're going to take all your calls next. 888-957-9570. Joe Lo and Dibs back in a flash, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.